Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning. And what a blessing it is when you come through the doors of this church, you just sense the presence of God here. I trust that you sense the presence of God in this place and that you've already been ministered to. What a blessing it is to be able to sing the congregational songs and then to be able to be ministered to in those specials. I trust you look forward to that every time we assemble ourselves together. And then as we get into the Word of God, praise the Lord for the precious Word of God. If you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and look with me to the book of 2 Timothy in chapter 4. 2 Timothy in chapter 4. We're going to be reading verse 6 down to verse 18 this morning. 2 Timothy is Paul's last letter. Paul was used by God to write 14 of the New Testament books of the Bible. And this would have been, in chronological order, this would have been the last letter that Paul would write before God would take him home. And I think it's a very powerful pastoral book of the Bible, as Paul's writing to young Timothy concerning pastoral ministry. And then in chapter 4, Paul gives somewhat of a testimony of his own life and the end of his life. And this is a blessing to be able to read this. And so if you'll stand with me, 2 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to start reading in verse 6, read down to verse 18. Paul writes, he says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, and Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." And let's pray. Father, as we bow before you this morning, again, we thank you, Lord God, for opportunity to be in church. For everyone that's here, they have taken advantage of that opportunity. I pray, God, because of that, that you would bless each one. I pray that you would open up each and every one of our hearts and our minds to be able to receive that which you have for us. And as we receive that, that it might strengthen us. I pray, Father, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The life of the Apostle Paul ought to be an inspiration to every believer. If you read of the life of the Apostle Paul, no doubt it will be an encouragement, an inspiration for you. Is this the last letter of Paul, and it's right before the Lord would call Paul home. We find in Paul's in prison. And as he's in prison, he's awaiting his execution for his stand for Christ. In verse 6, it reveals to us Paul's mindset, which also reveals the grace of God, even when he's facing death. He says, "For I am now ready to be offered." I'm ready. I'm now ready. I've gotten the peace of God. I've got the, because of the grace of God, I've got the peace of God in facing my execution. I've got the peace of God in knowing that I've accomplished what God had me on this planet Earth to accomplish. And now I'm ready because as God's given me the peace to know that I have accomplished what he had me here to accomplish, I'm ready to go on to glory. That's a testament to the very grace of God in facing every situation and trial of life. "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand." And then verse 7 is what Paul wrote about himself. Now, Paul wrote as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. And so we know that it had to be true. It had to be something that God gave him peace and actually inspired him to write as a testimony of his life. And this is something that most believers have read and reread and maybe even put it to memory. When Paul says this about his own life, he says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course." He realized that every believer has a course that God has plan for your life. But he says, "I have finished my course. I've kept the faith." What a great testimony. He fought a good fight, finished the course that God had placed him on, and he kept the faith, which enabled him to finish his course. And as I read that, I thought to myself, thinking, is that something that I'm going to be able to have said about me when my life on this earth is over? And I wonder if you've thought about that yourself and where you're at right now in your life on this earth. Would you want this to be able to be said about you? Would you want to be able to say this at the end of your life? "I fought a good fight. I actually finished. I accomplished what God had me here to accomplish, and I've kept the faith." If we're going to be able to have that said of us, or if we're going to be able to have the peace of knowing that is true about ourselves, the message I want to preach to you this morning is stay on course. Just simply stay on course. Course, a direction or a route to be taken. And God has a course, if you will, even he mentions it as a race to be run. But a course for each and every one of us. As I was thinking about this, the Lord brought back to mind a memory that I have of several years ago. I enjoyed bow hunting. And I remember my brother and I and some other men from the church went to deer camp in Missouri. And at this deer camp in Missouri, this place out in the wilderness, I mean, nothing but forest, trees all around. And they would take you out and they would place you in an area, in a stand, where, you know, you're apt to see deer come by. And it was a bow season, so I had a bow. And I remember being taken out there into a place I wasn't familiar with at all. First time I'd ever been in this area and didn't know anything about the area. And I was dropped off in a deer stand. And it was an afternoon hunt and going into the evening. And as it was late in the afternoon, I finally had this buck come by. And, you know, I had seen a lot of doe come by and I was kind of waiting. It was the first day it was there. And he come by, and I thought, wow, thank you, Lord. I mean, if you've ever hunted before, and especially bow hunting, I mean, the deer has to be pretty close, and your adrenaline starts pumping, and you're all excited. I mean, it's something, it's quite an experience. But the thing of it was, I had not really prepared as I should have prepared in being able to hit a kill shot. And so the deer come by, the buck come by, and I was able to pull back on him and I shot, but I didn't get a good shot. I hit the deer, but it was toward the rear of the deer and it wasn't a kill shot. And so the deer takes off. And so now I've got to go and I've got to see if I can find a blood trail to be able to follow the deer. And hopefully at some point he's going to just lay down and die. And then I've got the deer meat I have for the wintertime. Amen. To put it in the freezer. I would never hunt anything that I would not eat, and I enjoy venison. But anyway, as I got down, I started trailing this deer, and I did find a blood trail, and I'm in these woods that I have no idea. I've never been in before, and so I'm just focused on following this deer, just following the blood trail. And because I didn't get a kill shot, he didn't die. I mean, he just kept going and going, and I just kept following. And then I realized it's getting dark. And I couldn't find the blood trail. I ran out. It either ran out or I couldn't find it. I lost it. And now I'm out in the middle of nowhere in a place that I've never been before. And I'm thinking, I'm lost. Well, before I was placed in the deer stand, I was given a compass. And the compass, he said, here's a compass. If you get out there, he said, the road that you need to go to is due west. And I understood that. I mean, if you're going out in the woods, you better understand a little bit about a compass. But I was out there and it started getting dark, and now I'm reading a compass and I'm starting to go in the direction, trying to find my way back. Nothing looked familiar. I wasn't looking at the surroundings. I was looking for the blood trail when I was going out. And so now I'm lost, and I kept going, and there was these paths as I was heading back, and the paths were going in all different directions. And I had the temptation, because the compass wanted me to go through the thick forest. And these were open paths. I'm thinking, boy, this would be a lot easier to travel. But is it going to take me where I need to go? And so I fought off the temptation to take the easy road and the easy paths. And I just kept looking at the compass, and I kept following the compass, thinking it'll lead me to where I need to be. I traveled sometime. Now it's pitch black outside, very dark. There's not street lights around. And I'm still trying to follow this compass. And I start getting a little panicked. And I remember thinking, I'm never going to find my way back. And I remember there was a temptation just to give up. There was a temptation just to sit down and start crying. And I said, you're an adult, don't cry. I remember telling myself, it's not going to help you at all if you sit down and cry over it. Just trust the compass and keep going in that direction. And before long, I mean, it seemed like it was forever, but I eventually found the road. And then I started walking toward the camp, and they're out there looking around for me, and they pick me up on the road and take me back to the safety of the camp. I just needed to trust the compass and stay on course. The compass for the Christian is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Trust it. No matter what we face in life, we must keep the faith and stay on course. I believe that's Paul's testimony. And if you understand the life of Paul and you know more about what's taking place with Paul, it means so much when he says, I'm now ready to be offered. I'm ready to leave and depart because I have fought a good fight. I fought off the temptations to go this direction, that direction, this easy path, that path, and I stayed on course. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. You see, we are placed on a course that God has designed for us as salvation. And can I tell you, when you get saved, the Bible says that you're a new creature. Old things are past. Behold, all things are become new. In Acts in chapter 9, we find Paul's salvation. And we find Paul at salvation be given a new course. Paul had had a course. He had had goals for life. He had determined what he was going to do with his life, but it was without God. He thought he was serving God. He was a religious man. But he finally met the Lord Jesus Christ. On the road to Damascus, the Bible says in Acts chapter 9 and verse 1, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, Christians, if you will, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem." This was a course that he had set himself on. It was a religious course. It was a course of the Pharisees. It was a course that he had planned of becoming one of the hierarchies in this religion. But it was not the course that God designed for him. Be careful that you're following a course that man designed for you. Parents designed for you. A religion has designed for you. And he met the Lord. In verse 6 it says this, "And trembling and astonished said, Lord." Now he knows that he had been persecuting the very Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the Messiah. He didn't realize what he was doing. He was working opposite Christ. He was working opposite God. And Jesus reveals himself, and now he is revealed to Paul, and Paul realizes, my whole life has been working opposite God's direction and God's will for my life. And so once he acknowledged that, and he heard that this God was Christ, then Paul, the Bible says, he's trembling and astonished. It's all coming together now. He's trembling because he's realizing, I've been persecuting Christ. And astonished, said, Lord. Now he's acknowledging Jesus as Savior. He said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. At that particular moment, at that place and time in Paul's life, he realized that Jesus was the Messiah, and he realized that he wanted him as his own personal Savior. And we find that Paul now acknowledged Jesus as being the Messiah, and he looked to him and he said, Lord, now my life is yours. What would you have me to do with my life? And at that moment, when he yielded his life to God and he turned himself over to God, God put him on a course that was personally designed by God for Paul. When you got saved, if you have been saved, if you're not here this morning, you're on a course, but it's not been designed by God. You're on a course that you designed for yourself, for your life. You're on a course that you followed that your parents might have designed, or somebody in your life has directed you. But if you're not saved, you're not on a course that God has designed, personally designed for you. When you get saved, God has a purpose and a plan, a personal purpose and plan for your individual life. And at that moment, at salvation, he gives you a compass. He places the Holy Spirit of God into your heart, and it is sealed into the day of redemption. And the Holy Spirit of God inside of you, he will bear witness with your spirit. He will direct you from within. He will convict you from within. He will reveal to you the very will of God for your life. The compass that God will give you at salvation is that of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. When Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. The Word of God is this Bible that we preach this morning. This Word of God is a compass for your life. And you have the Holy Spirit as a compass for your life. And between the Holy Spirit pointing you to the Word of God, it will lead you down the course that God has designed for you. Stay on course. Stay on that course. The fight to stay on that course began. It's not easy. It wasn't easy for me to continue to follow that needle on that compass. Going through the thickets, getting dark, and I'm thinking, what? There's a trail. That surely it will lead me somewhere, maybe to a house or to somewhere. But it was opposite direction the compass was pointing. And I had to fight off the temptation to take the easy path, because I didn't really know where that was going to take me. I just kept the faith and believing that if I followed that compass, it would take me to where I needed to be. I stayed on the course. When the easiest path, I was climbing, going down the valleys, going back up, and I'm thinking, and it's dark. You hear a lot of weird noises out there. Yeah. And you might even have to fight off that temptation just to quit, just to sit down and cry. Tell yourself, what good is that going to do? Not going to get you to where you need to be. Feeling sorry for yourself is not going to help you to finish your course. Suck it up. Stay on course. Have faith in the compass. Yeah. The ability to understand the compass is given through God's Holy Spirit. Romans in chapter 6. Look there with me. Romans in chapter 6. Verse 11 through 13. Once you get saved, God has designed a course for you. Paul writes the book of Romans. In verse 11 he says this. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. Now this is the mindset of a believer. Reckon also yourselves be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, but that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Stop thinking like a lost man if you're saved. And start thinking as a saved man. And the thinking of a saved man is realizing that God has a purpose for your life, and he's given you a compass to follow to accomplish it. Amen. You're a new creature. You have a new life. You ought to have new goals. Amen. Old things are past. Behold, all things become new.
Amen. That's right.
Before you were dead to God. Hallelujah, now you're alive unto God. Before you were lost. If you believe the compass is right, you've been found. Before you were blind. But now, you see. Salvation places us on a course designed by God. If you're saved, your course in life has changed. Fight to stay on that course. Paul had not only his course of life has changed, he was persecuting the church. Now he has to love the church. Now he has to love the believers. And now he has to support them. And he reaches them with the gospel. He wants everyone to have what he has. In the midst of all that, something else changed for Paul. Paul developed health problems. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. On his course now, remember, designed by God, he had to have faith that even if he developed health problems, that God would have a purpose for those health problems.
That's right.
In the midst of those health problems, God could still work through Paul. 2 Corinthians in chapter 12 and verse 7. The Bible says, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, what God had given to him, and all that wisdom and insight and revelations, even being taken up to heaven itself." Paul said, "Because of all this, through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." No one wants to have health problems. And if you have a health problem, I one of the first things you ought to do is pray for healing. If you have something going on that you believe is going to hinder you from your service to God or accomplishing what God has you do, God, I pray, God, that you would heal me, that I would be able to, with better health, accomplish even greater things for thee and do more for you. I believe it's what we ought to do is make it more advantageous for God to keep us healthy than to allow us to be sick. Amen. And that's how I pray. Keep me healthy so that I can accomplish even greater things for thee. But if you pray and ask that, and you still have this infirmity of the flesh, you still have this illness, he doesn't heal you of the cancer, he doesn't heal you of whatever it might be, realize that you're still useful. Paul fought to realize that even though I've developed this health problem, even though I've developed this infirmity of the flesh, I've not lost my usefulness. But in fighting through the thoughts and the emotions and focused on God, realizing that God might even be glorified through me, even in a greater capacity. And that's what Paul says, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I prayed that the Lord would heal me this three times, three seasons of prayer. And he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, Paul, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." If you can accomplish things in your weakness, you'll give me the glory. If other people can see you doing what you're doing in your weakness, in your infirmity, then I'm going to be given the glory for that. You can accomplish even greater things for me, Paul, with this infirmity than you would have been able to accomplish for me without the infirmity. "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Most gladly, now Paul speaks, he says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me." Power of Christ rested upon him with the infirmity. Amen. "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities," knowing that God's going to be glorified through it. That's how, I'm not going to rejoice in the infirmity, but I can rejoice in the fact that there's a purpose for the infirmity. "Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses." Have you ever been there? Are you there now? "For Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." You're going to have to fight to stay on course if you're going through those infirmities. You're going to fight to have to stay on course when you're being persecuted. You're going to have to fight to stay on course when you're experiencing some unpleasant things. But stay on course. Keep the faith. Not only that, if you go back, and this will be the last, but 2 Timothy chapter 4, we find some other things here, Paul's life. Paul's living conditions changed. Now, in Paul's life, if you would study his life, his living conditions changed quite often. I mean, he was imprisoned. He was, left for dead after he'd been stoned one time. He found himself out floating in the middle of the ocean after being shipwrecked. I mean, there's so many things about Paul's life. Many things. Paul's living conditions changed. But Paul stayed on course. And now we find at the very end of Paul's life in verse 10, he says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, and Titus unto Dalmatia." He says that all these at some point had deserted him. When Paul was placed in prison and given the death sentence, for that's what happened, his so-called friends and co-laborers forsook him. Paul stayed on course. Verse 11, we find here, he says, now he's writing to Timothy, and he said, all this has happened. He said, but I'm going to stay on course. I'm not going to let the fact that everybody forsook me, I'm not going to let the situation, the fact that I'm living in prison now, that I'm facing my, I'm not going to let that keep me as long as I can to continue to serve the Lord. Stay on course. And so he writes to Timothy, and this is part of the letter, and he says, only Luke is with me. He says, Timothy, I want you to come as quickly as possible. I want you to take Mark and bring him with you. For now he is profitable to me in the ministry. I love that. And Tychicus, I have sent to Ephesus. I've got him doing some work over in Ephesus. Now he is outlining, and even after all these forsook him, he's saying that I didn't give up, and I didn't just sit down and cry about it. I continue to stay on course and do what I could. Amen. And he says, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. What's he doing? He said, I'm still wanting to study because I'm still preparing messages. Amen. He's in prison. And when he was placed in prison, it seemed like everybody forsook him. But he didn't give up. Amen. He did what he could, even behind the prison cell. He had to fight to stay on course. He had to fight to have right thinking. You're going to have to fight to stay on course. Look down at verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. And my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I prayed God. Now this shows you his mindset. All these things were happening, but said, I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. He had developed the love that God wanted him to develop for others. The course that God put him on. Instead of persecuting the church, loved the church. Our circumstances of life are going to change. Might not have what you thought you'd have. You might not be where you thought you'd be at this point in your life. Temptations to get off course and take another path are there. Trust the compass. Fight to stay on course. Ultimately, this is what Paul says, and ending with this in verse 17 and 18, he says this, notwithstanding whatever persecutions, notwithstanding whatever change in my life, notwithstanding everything, the infirmities, whatever it might be, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. You can always depend upon and count on God standing with you if you're standing with God. If you continue to stay the course, you can trust in God. And know that he's going to be there for you. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me, he's able, from every evil work. Amen. Infirmities, persecutions, distresses, he can. And will preserve me into his heavenly kingdom. Will preserve me until I have finished my course. Paul knew that God had a master plan, and everything that God allows to happen in our lives fits into it. If you're saved, you're God's. He has designed a course just for you. And whatever that He allows, now we bring some of the things on ourselves when we get off course, but whatever He allows, He has a purpose for allowing it.
That's right. Amen.
Fight to keep the faith, to stay on course. It might feel like you're lost and in the woods. I didn't like that feeling. As a grown man, feeling like I just want to sit down and cry. I didn't like that. Something within me just kept telling me, trust the compass. The road's out there. You can't see it. Just trust the compass. Fight off all those temptations to take a wrong path. Fight off all those emotions. Stay the course. The road's out there. I was never so happy when I seen lights, traffic, because I knew they're on the road. And I've been heading in the right direction all along. Fears left. All those emotions were past. And I was rejoicing. I got to where I needed to be. Fight off temptations. Follow the compass that God's given you. Stay on course. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Are you saved? If you're not saved, you don't have a course designed by God. You're trying to stay on a course that you prepared and designed for yourself. Or you're on a course that Satan has designed for you to destroy you. You're on a course of self-destruction. Get off of that. Turn to God. And accept the course that God's designed for you. Accept the compass that He has given to us, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and follow it. Follow it to stay on course. Father, we love You. Thank You, Lord God, for the truth of Your Word and how You've met with us now. And I just pray, God, that as You've spoken to us this morning, that each and every one here would have heard exactly what You had for them. And God, You've revealed things to them in their hearts and their minds that only You knew about. And I pray that they would receive that and they would follow the compass that You've given to them. If there's someone here that does not know You as Savior, I pray that today would be the day that they would be saved and get on that right road. Get on that course that You've designed for them. Work in our midst. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.